Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cameron Haley, driver number 13, Matei Tundra for Thor Sport Racing and the Camping World Truck Series. You're listening to the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Digger Nation. I'm Tim Despain, alongside my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud?
Hey, I'm doing all right. We got a couple of storms that are rolling, probably going to roll through here later on tonight. We had some bad ones last night, but hopefully it won't affect us too bad.
Yeah, maybe not, maybe not. Y'all just hunkered in. I know we got a lot to talk about. The number to call is 215-383-3681. We have both our guests coming at the bottom aisle. We have driver for Will Kimmel Racing, Mr. Will Kimmel, and we have from NBC Sports writer Jerry Bonkowski coming on also. But, Stephen, before we get everything started, let's bring our Reverend to the show, Mr. Reverend Joe from IFL on the West Coast, and the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good. A little bit sore. Had a bunch of walking here over the past weekend, well, from last Thursday to Sunday, but I'm making it.
It's tough to get old, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Just can't handle all that walking.
No, sir, I can't, especially after I had my second back surgery. That's okay.
It's always a lot of walking at a racetrack. No matter what size track you go to, you don't realize how much you walk. But it definitely is. Well,
exactly.
I know you got a busy show tonight, so maybe we ought to get down to it.
Yes, sir. You got the floor.
Lord, we ask your protection upon all involved in auto racing and all involved with this show, all those that are listening in. We particularly pray for those who are struggling with different ailments and ask you for your protective hand and healing hand on all of them. We ask you to be with us, be with our soldiers all over the world, their families, and everyone that wears a uniform to protect us. We ask you to be with all our drivers. Give us a great, safe weekend. We thank you for the fact that at Talladega, though it was rough, no one was badly injured. So we thank you for all those things, and we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, so we'd have open entrance into heaven just by calling on his name. We thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe. Reverend Joe, as always, I say it every week, and I'm going to continue to say it. Great invocation. Let everybody know where they can follow you on your website, social media, bud.
All righty. The phone number to reach me anytime is 951-232-7630. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and my email is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. Give us a holler anytime. We also post on Facebook. We post scripture there twice a day. Glad to field your questions, answer your questions, and enjoy talking with y'all. So have a wonderful week, guys, and God bless y'all.
God bless you too, Reverend. Tell Miss Betty we said hello, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday evening, bud.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
All right, see you, Reverend. All right. That was our good friend, Reverend Joe, up there at Westchester Stephen. He moved from Southern California up to, I think, somewhere up close to Seattle, somewhere up in Washington when he got married. All right, Stephen, where do we start? Well, we have so much to talk about. We have, there's been so much news after a day. People want to tear down Talladega, rip the banks off. Dale Jr. is going to finally put Amelia in his car graveyard. The daggum infraction sheet. I don't know if you looked at it, Stephen. I got it right here. The infraction sheet at Talladega is the biggest I've seen. It is 2.25 pages long. Where do you want to start? You got the floor. Well, let's start before we get Barry Bernkowski and Will coming up.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think this is the worst we've ever seen it when we come to Talladega. 35 race cars tore up, beat, banged up. I mean, it was almost like we came out of Richmond. We came out of Bristol. We came out of a short track somewhere with 35 race cars with some kind of damage out there. But, you know, all in all, you come out of this thing, and I think this is the worst we've ever heard of from the fans, from the media, from everybody involved. And I don't think NASCAR did say that they are investigating some of these incidents out there on the racetrack from over the weekend that we've seen. But, you know, the media out there, the fans out there, you know, they've started in already. You've got people out there. I heard one come at me on Twitter the other day and said, well, why don't we just bulldoze Daytona and Talladega and turn them into cornfields out there? You've got media out there saying, well, why don't we do away with the plate races altogether, keep the Daytona 500, and we'll go and add three more road courses to the schedule, and or we'll take the banking away. It's simple to say that we all can sit back and be couch crew chiefs, and we can be couch sanctioning bodies every single week, and you know, thankfully, we get to sit and talk about this every single week. We get to cover this sport of NASCAR every week, no matter what. All in all, when it really comes down to the matter of the fact of this, we had multiple incidents on the racetrack. Matt Kenseth turned over. Chris Buescher turned over. We had an incident with Joey Logano. We had an incident with Kevin Harvick also out there. Ricky Stenhouse was involved into that. Blake Koch in the Xfinity Series race. You know, when you start looking at all these drivers out there that were involved in these multiple different incidents out there at Talladega this weekend, you know, every single one of them got out of that race car and they walked away. Every single one of them. There wasn't one of them that had to be taken out of it. And that's a testament not only to, you know, NASCAR and what the safety innovations are over the years. It really is just a testament to the construction of these cars and everybody there at the race shop that puts these cars together on a weekly basis. And not only that, look at all the incidents we had on the front stretch, not only in the Xfinity Series race, but in the final closing laps there, the closing laps of the Sprint Cup Series race. Nobody got hurt in the grandstands. We take a look at Daytona last year in July. Five people were injured with the Austin Dillon accident late in the goings there. NASCAR Daytona, IAC, everybody said that they were going to improve the finishing structures, that they were going to look at safety enhancements for the fans. And they did. They went back, they looked at the crossover gates. They looked at the fencing structures. They've looked at multiple other enhancements that they could, that they've done, and they have. It all even started prior to that with the Carl Larson incident, where the engine partially ended up in the grandstands, where the tire into the tire and parts were also in the grandstands from that. So, you know, NASCAR, ISC, everybody has looked at this for multiple months, multiple years. And the incidents that we had at Talladega this weekend, nobody got injured. Nobody got hurt, not only in the cars, but in the grandstands themselves. And I'd also like to further point out is that, you know, back in 1969, Richard Petty and a group of drivers decided that they were going to boycott the races. A week or two prior, Firestone did pull out of the sanctioning body. NASCAR did come to Talladega. They came to Talladega with a tire that didn't particularly have the grip that the drivers wanted. So these set of drivers, they boycotted the race. Here we are 47 years ago. I mean, 47 years later. We're still talking about safety at not only Talladega, but we're talking about it at Daytona. Cars are still flipping over 47 years later. Cars are still doing 190 miles an hour around both these tracks. We're still racing around these tracks. But the safety enhancements that NASCAR, the manufacturers, the teams themselves, and the tracks have instituted over the last 47 years, I think is an incredible testament to all of the incidents, five race cars that got tore off on Sunday, and the multiple cars on Saturday, and every single driver walked away without incident. So that's kind of my monologue. So let me just finish and cap it off with this. So, you know, as the NASCAR fans, you know, and the media, and everybody sits back from Talladega, we can look at this and we can say, well, if this and that and but this. This has been going on since Talladega has been there, since Daytona has been there. This is nothing new. This happens every single time we go there. You know, we have figured, and NASCAR has figured a way, the manufacturers have figured a way, everybody has figured a way to make the racing about as safe as they possibly can. There's no need to get jumpy and start calling for, let's bulldoze some racetracks, let's turn them into road courses, let's bore down the racing to the point that nobody wants to show up at Daytona or Talladega anymore. Nobody wants that. That's an overreaction, I believe, on the media's part and on the fans' part. I think we need to keep Daytona and Talladega exactly as they are and continue working on every safety aspect that not only NASCAR, but the manufacturers and the teams and the drivers and everybody in the tracks can continue to put together for the next 47 years to continue making these cars and everything as safe as possible for these drivers to compete.
Exactly. And, Stephen, I would like to touch on, I want to add some of my comments to your topic here you brought up. Very good points that you brought up. And, Suzanne and I, you know, this is my fault. And I'm not always right. Suzanne tells me I'm never right. But I'm going to say, 99% of everything that went on there, especially Sunday, we had the threat of weather. The threat of weather, we was listening to the in-car radios. Everybody, there would be a cell come up, which right before, right when the car came off the pit road, there was a cell that come across, went right south of turn one and two. And all during the race, there were cells of rain coming up, and it would play out or either dodge the racetrack. I think, this is just my opinion, and, you know, like you say, opinions is like, you know what, everybody's got one, and I've been to a lot of races here at Talladega Super Speedway. I think that had a lot to do, especially once they made it to halfway, Steve.
You know, the intensity definitely when you take a look back at the race, obviously there was some intensity not only in the driver's part but everybody's part. You know, NASCAR did, and through no fault of their own, and I understand NASCAR doing everything that they can to get this race in. They moved the race up green flag by about 18, 20 minutes out there. You know, they obviously knew the threat of weather was coming. Everybody knew the threat of weather was coming. You know, right before the green flag fell, the spotters were talking a little bit of drops of rain. I think you guys were battling turn three out there, just trying to get that, I think, a quick pop-up shower, doused turn three, and they had to get out there and quickly clean that up before they can go and get the green flag out even 20 minutes early. So, you know, you got to – of course, you know, there was a little bit of hurry up out there. But, you know, those drivers, all 40 drivers that they were on that track, they're the 40 best drivers in the world out there. They're not, you know, they know what they're doing, and they did everything within their power. And, you know, there's going to be incidents, no matter the cause of rain or what have you. And yeah, we look at the hurry up, and I think that's you start looking at some of the penalties on pit road. Obviously, these drivers, teams, the especially under that first green flag caution, I think it was organized chaos down there, because I can't even count how many penalties, you know, race control and the camera system was calling out. I mean, it was absolutely insane about the number of penalties. But yeah, everybody was in a hurry up mode, and you know, they still did a good job no matter what, and everybody was racing to that halfway point most definitely. But you could tell after that halfway point the intensity did drop just a bit. But as always, when you go to a place like Talladega, Daytona, wherever it is, the intensity always picks back up in those final 25 or 30 laps out there, no matter whether it's the threat of rain or not.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to throw two different quotes here this year, but I want to back it up. You know, you mentioned safety. Suzanne and I said this in the press box Sunday. Nice press box. You know where it is, right in the center of the trial. And that accident that happened right there with Harvick and all of them, I can't remember who all was in it, but when they was coming to the checker, when everybody has left and won it, I mean, you know, you could hear tires popping, and, you know, you mentioned about stuff going up in the stands. The way Todd Super Speedway has built their catch speed, just like Daytona, there were some pieces that come flying up, but the catch speed throwed it back on the track. And also, I just wanted to touch a little bit on that, and Saturday, when Joey Logano, when he got turned and when they hit that safer bear, Steven, I seen a picture somewhere. I don't know who it was that took it, but whoever took it, awesome. I think it might have been somebody from Getty Images. That safer barrier probably collapsed 12 to 18 inches in. And, you know, just wanted to touch on that about safety and throw that out there. And I want to ask you this. The Xfinity Series race Saturday, the Sparks Energy 300 there, when we thought Brennan Poole was going to win it. Then we had to wait. And then Elliott Sadler won it. Well, I've heard a lot of talk on social media about, well, Elliott Sadler was below the yellow line. Well, I couldn't see everything, Stephen, but I'm thinking Elliott Sadler was forced down there to stay away from the accident. Can you touch on a little bit about that?
I would have to go back and look at the replay because, you know, most everybody was focused on Brennan Poole and Joey Logano at that particular moment. You know, not necessarily where Elliott Sadler was. You know, obviously they were over-focusing on that Elliott had been, you know, clipped Joey Logano, putting it over into the fence. And then the organized chaos of, you know, the big wreck there in the trioval. But then it more focused out on Brennan Poole taking the checkered flag, which, you know, for most people is what most people don't know. And you can explain this a little further, but the start-finish line is much, much further closer to turn one, and it's not in the trioval. But as the NASCAR rule states, in any plate racing, whether it's at Talladega or at Daytona, you are not allowed to willfully. And that willfully means that you drive your car down below the double yellow line to pass another car to improve your position. However, you can go below the yellow line if it is with the intention to avoid a wreck. Now, in this instance where there is an incident on the track, obviously, you know, if Elliott Slaller did go below the yellow line and improved his position, this was not with the intention of improving his position. This was with the intention of avoiding an on-track or to create more of an on-track incident, which in that case, the rule book and the rule would not apply. The rule only applies with the intention of during a race under green. If you willfully and go below the yellow line to improve your position. Now, NASCAR will also state that if you go below the yellow line and improve your position, they will warn you and give you a very, very short amount of time to go back and give that position back before they black flag you. Now, they don't give you much time to do so, but they do give you a very, very minute amount of time, depending on the case and how blatant you are about going above that yellow line and improving your position.
Exactly. Stephen, let's take a little quick break before we got our guest coming up. Mr. Bob Miles, we got Will Kimmel, driver number 69 Chevrolet for Kimmel Motorsports. He finished fifth this weekend in the ARCA and the General Tire 200 here at Tottenham Speedway. And we got Jerry Bonkast, a member of his sport, coming on also. So we're going to have all four of us on at the same time. We're going to try not to talk off. We're going to try not to talk over everybody. But number to call in is 215-336-81. You're live from Tottenham, Alabama with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. We'll be back shortly.
Drunk on you with no alcohol.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're at a pit stop in the Spain and Stephen Wilson on the pit stop on the Super.S Radio Network. Stephen, we've got here shortly coming up, Big Bob and I, we've got Wilson on, we've got Jerry Bonkowski, and, you know, the segment we were talking about earlier about the plate racing and all this and that. And but, you know, you brought up a good bit on safety. And, you know, NASCAR, they're not going to stop on safety. Did nobody get hurt? Just like you mentioned, I think Danica might have had a bruise or two or something like that, but NASCAR has come a long way. Nobody got hurt, and I'm pretty sure NASCAR will continue to look at stuff, especially Saturday. When I texted you, I was headed to the garage. I was trying to get a picture of Joey Logano's number 22 discount tire store, and they would not let us nowhere near that car. I don't know why they didn't want us to take pictures, but we couldn't get nowhere near it. Do you think they were probably going to take that back to R&D and maybe go through it and maybe see what failed and what did stay intact?
Yeah, I mean, NASCAR did say, Steve O'Donnell did say, he said that NASCAR is going to investigate after the weekend. They're going to take a look at these cars. And what most people don't know is that these cars also do have onboard telemetry, that they do have sensors within the car to see the impact point, the G-forces that they experience. And NASCAR is going to take these cars, or at least that's probably what happened with the Joey Logano car. Whether they decide to do that with either Kevin Harvick's car, or Chris Buescher, or Matt Kenseth's car, or anybody else's car at this point, have not heard, but it sounds like that's probably what they were going to do with Joey Logano's car, just based on your description of what they were keeping people away from because they didn't want any tampering of the car. But what they will do is they'll take this back to the R&D center, they'll download the telemetry off the car, and they'll run this through the simulations. There's a simulation center within the R&D center. Ford also has a simulation center, which they'll also bring that into the simulation center. And they'll take a look and see just exactly what Joey Logano's car and what Joey as a driver experienced within the on-track incident. And they'll try and duplicate that within simulations. They'll use this data further down the line to continue making those cockpits safer, whether it be within the driver's seat, whether it be in the constructions of the car. But, you know, that's, you know, NASCAR does this on a routine basis within accidents. Even minor accidents that they have brought them back to the R&D center and done the same thing with to make to get a baseline off of it and to continue improving safety. And that's how the design of the Gen 6 car kind of came along, is not only being able to take that telemetry from live accidents, but also simulating accidents outside of NASCAR races or live races too. So, you know, these are all things that NASCAR continues to do on a daily and weekly basis. And there's a team down there within the R&D center. There's manufacturers that continue to work with them. And there's the companies themselves that supply the seats, that supply everything within that car, the belt systems, everything there will be able to take a look within the car and see what they can do to continue making these cars and their equipment even safer.
Yeah. And Steve, you know, I think you and I have probably said it here two or three times, but nobody got hurt. You know, like I said, Danica might have had a couple of bruises and stuff, but actually, as far as the overall race, Steve, I think you mentioned earlier there was 40 cars made it in the field, 35 were involved in some type of accident or had some type of ding and bang, and I think 21 of the cars actually finished on the lead lap. Steve, and I mean, did you see? I mean, Austin Dillon's car looked like somebody with chocolate milk threw up all over the hood and taped it together. I mean, you know, it was. And they were still able to draft in the field at Talladega with all these beat and banged up cars. I mean, it was overall the racing was good if you take away the accidents. I mean, you still throw the accidents in there, and they go in there, they fix the car, well, they didn't have to. Some of them didn't have to go behind the wall. They just duct tapes it up at 200 mile an hour, tape Bondo or what have you, and they still come out and were very competitive, especially Austin Dillon.
Yeah, Austin Dillon, he finished third out there. The team did say they put it 17 times to fix that car between the 200 mile an hour duct tape, the Bondo, the bear bond that they put on that car. He was very, very competitive out there. You even take a look at Joe Logano's car. You know, early on in the race, he had some minor incidents that put a hole in the front fascia or area of the car. He ultimately ended up 25th later on because of an accident. But he was competitive later on, and that's not something normally that you would have seen 5 years ago. Typically, if you would have got a ding, if you would have got a hole in the grill area, if something would have happened, if your car was beat, banged up, anywhere near the shape of Austin Dillon's car, you definitely would have been riding around 30th, 35th, outside the draft, very quickly a lap down, and that was not the case this past weekend. I think Ryan Blaney, I mean, you look at him, I mean, he... even his car was wrecked. And I don't remember the exact number of passes that he had, but he had something over like 100 passes throughout the entire over the week, over the 188 laps that he competed. And unfortunately for him, he was able to finish ninth, even with a beat up car that was involved in an incident.
Yeah, yeah. And Steven, while we're waiting on our guest, if I can, I want to go ahead and let's go ahead and play Elliot Sadler's Media Center interview there at Talladega. Actually, won the Sports Energy 300 NASCAR Race Media Series right there at Talladega. Let's see what he had to say.
Okay. All right. We are now joined by our race winner, Elliot Sadler, driver of the number one main Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. Elliot, first off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And secondly, congratulations on your race win today. Talk about getting back into victory lane with Junior Motorsports.
Yeah, it's holy cow, so many emotions and stories and things going through my head right now. So many different reasons why we wanted to win the race today. But these are the biggest two right here beside me, and this is why I wanted to bring them. It's, you know, they don't get to come to a lot of races, and they definitely hadn't been to victory lane yet with Daddy. Wyatt was with me at Pocono when I won in a truck a long time ago, but he was only a couple months old. So to see my kids in victory lane with me and my wife was very special, very emotional, and something I'll never forget.
All right. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll start with Bob, and then we'll go to Tom.
Bob Pockers, ESPN. Can you talk about what you saw on that final lap and then what were you thinking for about the 5 minutes that took for NASCAR to decide where you finished?
Well, I tell you, Bob, I was very fortunate that I had Justin Allgaier behind me. He restarted fifth on the restart, and I knew he would stay with me till we got to the trial, and then we could make whatever moves we need to make to try to win the race. So I felt like I could be aggressive and kind of make a strong move with Joey, and I kind of played the move in my head that I want to happen. If I was pinned in traffic, or one, if I was free, I was going to try to get to Joey's bumper and try to push him out away from everybody, then leave it between he and I. And I was able to make a move to the top, and he made a great block, and then I came back to the bottom under him. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's a lot of races I probably have not done a good job as a driver, but I feel like saving that car today through the grass was kind of crazy. And, yeah, it was a little bit of luck, but I was wheeling it inside of it too, so it felt good to – after Joey and I hit to kind of keep the car straight, and when he yelled caution was out, I felt like I was still in the lead. So that's why we drove up to the start finish line. I'm glad NASCAR took their time and looked at it. And I was kind of just anxious sitting there on the start finish line. Just, man, I would really like to win this race. And, you know, I know the 48 car would too, but, you know, he's going to be around a long time. And, you know, we felt like we needed it. So it was a great birthday gift when they started screaming in my ear. I kind of knew what was going to happen.
All right, we'll go to Tom and then Kenny Bruce.
Hey, Elliot. Tom Jensen, FoxSports.com. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What does it mean to you to be locked into the chase now?
Man, it means a lot to be locked into chase. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I don't know if Kevin said it or not. So I called Kevin last week, and we were, you know, going over our Richmond stuff, and we were talking about Talladega. And I said, man, how you doing today? And he said, we're just fine-tuning the Talladega cars. I said, don't put too much effort into it. It's either we're coming home with a trophy or just a steering wheel. I don't, you know, with this new points format, we're way up in the points. We had a big cushion to 12th. I feel like Talladega's a race that, I'll be honest with you, last three or four days, I feel like I had to win. I feel like I had to win this race with all the stuff we got going on. And so I told him, I was like, we're either going to win it or we can tear it all to pieces. I hope you don't mind. And he said he didn't care. He'd build me another one. So I think we did a little bit of both, honestly, today. So to be locked into Chase, it's going to open us up where we can be aggressive. We can take some chances, and we can try some things. There's some tracks that we need a little bit of speed on. We know to keep up with some of the other cars, and we know we got a lot of intermediate tracks coming up when the chase starts, and we have Phoenix coming up. So we'll try some stuff at some different tracks to get ready for those last few races for the chase. So it definitely frees you up, makes it very comfortable.
All right, we'll go to Chris Knight. Any additional questions for Elliot? We'll go to Stan.
Okay, Stan Kriegmore with RPMtonight.com. Number one, Elliot, one of the reporters from Hampton sent me a message, said, are you going to do a party at the Red Barn?
Not yet. I know what he meant, a party at my barn. A couple years ago, we had a party at my house, and 4,000 or 5,000 people showed up. So that's what he's asking for, but not yet.
Okay, listen. I've watched you since you were a late model stock driver. What does this win mean to you over all of the wins you've had throughout your career?
Well, it's very high, and I'll hit the high spots right now. You know, I hadn't won a race in you guys said 65 races. I hadn't won a race, so almost 2 years. One Main has been is the longest running primary sponsor in the Xfinity Series. A lot of the people, we had 50 people here today from One Main. A lot of them had never been to a race before, so they were here today. Dale Jr. and Kelly gave me a great opportunity, maybe take a chance on me. I don't know, however you want to word it, it sounds great. Gave me a great opportunity to drive their race car, and to be able to win a race for them means a lot to me. My wife and two kids are here with me. First time I've been able to share all of us in Victory Lane together. And it's my birthday, so it's the last day of Autism Awareness Month. I mean, I can go on and on of how special a win this is to me. My daughter found a ladybug today, and she's keeping with her, as you can see. That also brought me some good luck. So it's little cool stuff like that is what makes this race worthwhile and makes it very special.
And, Steven, just to test a little bit, we've got Jerry Boncaster waiting here. I just want to throw out after, which everybody knew that but you and I had forgot. Elliot Sadler won. He's the only driver ever to win in that series on his birthday.
Yeah, that's kind of, after all these years, they finally took Elliot Sadler in 2016 to do it, and the only three drivers have done it in the Sprint Cup Series. Kyle Busch being the most recent one to do so. But, yeah, that's it's kind of special for him to being able to do that. So, congratulations to him on that, for being able to break that record and finally put his name in history books.
Exactly. And, Steve, let's bring our good friend on. From NBCSports.com, my good friend, Mr. Jerry Boncaster, in the pit stop, Kenneth Spain and Steven Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
JB, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing? Sorry I'm a little bit late. I got hung up on spring, but I'm here, and let's talk NASCAR.
You're fine, Jerry. You're fine. I am glad that you finally made it, because about this time I normally have to take a pit stop. So, Jerry, I'm going to hand you over to Steven right quick, and I'm going to take a pit stop. I'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Sounds good.
Jerry, I appreciate you taking time to come on here tonight. You know, after the wild and crazy weekend that we've had there at Talladega, we've had a little bit of everything come, not only from the media, but the fans on how to change it. We had 35 cars out there in the Sprint Cup Series that had some sort of damage, at least two cars out there with Chris Buescher and Matt Kenseth flipping over out there, Kevin Harvick and Ricky Stenhouse having that horrific accident there on the front stretch. So, you know, all in all, you know, it's a typical Talladega race when you really get down to it over, 50-plus years out there. But, you know, in essence of all of this, you know, we come out of Talladega and, it's almost the immediacy factor of it. It's like, let's make a change. From your perspective, and I know you've been doing this for quite some time, why all the time? Why is it always we go to Daytona? Why is it we always go to Talladega? And it's an immediacy change that we've got to make something out of it. Why do we need to change something? And especially in retrospect, that none of these drivers got hurt. No fans got hurt.
Well, I think a couple of things, Stephen. Number one, you know, when I go back to my days when I was with ESPN and Yahoo, I was one of the most vocal critics about changing Talladega. And this kind of shows how, you know, human nature changes and you know, opinions and mindsets change. I like what I see now at Talladega. And, you know, this is nothing new. I mean, it almost seems that at least once every year, if not both times, something happens at Talladega that, you know, right away people say, we've got to change this, we've got to change that. Well, I mean, you know, the drivers know what they're dealt with and what they have to deal with rather, and, you know, they approach it the best way they can. We're all human. We all make mistakes. It's just, you know, which leads me to my second point, is that, you know, I can't recall, you know, for at least the last 10, 15 years, maybe it's never been this case, all the people that have talked about, you know, changing Talladega after what happened this past Sunday. That kind of surprised me because, I mean, you know, listening to the guys on Fox, you know, Walter P. was saying he'd never seen a race like this before at Dega. You know, a few other people had said the same thing. And, you know, I think it's just a reflection of the wildness the race really brought about. I thought it was a good race, but, you know, there were a lot of different elements or circumstances that led to, I think, a lot of what happened. I mean, number one was the weather. I mean, we were going through that race. There was a big question whether the race would even get to halfway because rain was approaching. And then, you know, the rain didn't come, but there was still that threat of rain even in the second half of the race. So it almost made a sense of urgency for all the drivers to essentially, you know, race as if they were racing every lap as if it was the last lap of the race because of the uncertainty whether that rain would come. I mean, would it come on, you know, lap 94? Would it come on lap, you know, 110? Would it come on lap 140? I mean, that's how they were racing. And, you know, when you have that kind of a mindset in a racing, you're going to have accidents. And I think this was a kind of a perfect storm that kind of came together, and we wound up with what we had. But I don't think anything should be changed. I mean, I used to think that, but I think that, you know, this was just the drivers and what transpired. We were all just a matter. It was a victim of circumstance, I think.
Yeah, you know, I think we can really just, you know, one of the aspects is that we can go back and take a look real quick at the Austin Dillon incident from 2015 back at Daytona. We can also go back and look at Ben Kennedy and what happened at Kentucky with him in the truck. And you know, NASCAR and everybody, the tracks have gone through a safety element in the last couple of years. We can even go back and talk about what happened with Kyle Larson getting into the fence and parts and pieces going out into the grandstand. But, you know, we've seen that, you know, these changes have been made over the last couple of years, and, you know, that didn't necessarily happen this weekend at Talladega. But, you know, moving forward out of Talladega, you know, Talladega is always that wild card that, you know, anybody can win. Brad Keselowski pulling his second win off in 2016. Obviously, that he doesn't really have to worry about the rest of the season. Not that he's not going to worry about the rest of the season, but he's pretty much locked himself in, got himself a good contention spot. We're going to Kansas this weekend. It's going to be a night race out there. So it's a little bit of a different atmosphere. But overall, with the new changes that we've had in 2016 with the low downforce package, overall, what have you seen this year that you like in this new low downforce package, and how has it changed the aspect of the racing in 2016?
Well, I think one thing I want to mention before I answer that, you know, a lot of people – I don't think they really have given Keselowski his due. I mean, he's now, I believe he's the second winningest active driver at Talladega behind Dale Jr. He's got four wins, Jr. has six. So that was a pretty stout accomplishment for him. Now, as far as your question, I like what I see with this new downforce package. It definitely has seemed to make the racing better. I think the drivers certainly like it. The fans like it. The media seems to like it. But, you know, as NASCAR has said, They like what they see, but there may be some tweaks down the road to make it even better. I don't know what we really can do right now to make it better. I think it's really very good at this, you know, what we see right now. But, you know, if you can make the race even a little bit better with a little bit, you know, with another tweak, I'm all for it.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, I think, you know, NASCAR fans really enjoy what they did see in 2015 when they brought this to Kentucky, they brought it to Darlington. It's obviously made a difference into it. We already saw it several times this year, already producing better racing than we've seen in many, many years. And that's what NASCAR fans have asked for time and time again. Make the race better. Make these mile and a half, make it something special. Make it special for us. Make it for a reason that we want to come there. And they've done this. And I have to agree to that fact that, you know, over the years, those races weren't something that NASCAR fans want to go see. Now they want to go see them. And we're going to see that in Kansas this week in another mile and a half racetrack. Well, it's not, it's a little bit different, but we're going to run it under the lights this weekend. Surprises out there. Jimmy Johnson won it last year. But this year, totally different story. You know, Jimmy was early on into the season. He seemed to be pretty good. He's won already, but you just seem not to be that guy this year. It seems to be the Joe Gibbs Racing crew this year. They left off where they picked right where they were in 2015. That camp just has something going with them that they just haven't lost from 2015. What is it about Joe Gibbs Racing that they are just pulling from 2015, brought it over to 2016, and just seem to be just excelling?
Well, you know, I mean, I hate to make this sound like a cliche, but, you know, this sport, as you and I both know, and Tim obviously knows, and everybody almost, I would think, knows, is a very cyclical sport. And, you know, you're at a, you know, how long ago? Was it 2 years ago, I think it was? Joe Gibbs Racing couldn't win anything. I mean, I think they won, what, two races out of the entire team in an entire year? And I think that, you know, their down period was then. And then they finally started hitting upon things, and they, you know, they've got obviously great drivers. I think the addition of Matt Kenseth and Carl Edwards has certainly played a big role in the, you know, their uptick in performance, if you will. And, you know, right now they are the team to beat. I mean, you know, three, four, 5 years ago, we were saying Hendrick was the team to beat. A few years before that, you know, we could probably have said, you know, maybe some of the Fords were, you know, like Roush was the team to beat maybe about 10 or 12 years ago. So, you know, it's a very cyclical sport. I am very impressed with what JGR has done, though. I mean, they've done a great deal in, you know, in a relatively short period of time. And, you know, they've elevated their game so much. You know, Kyle Busch wins the championship last year for them. That was, what, their third or fourth championship, I believe it was. So, you know, they definitely are riding a crest. But, you know, how long does this crest continue? I mean, I think that they certainly will be the team to beat this year. But, you know, we could be talking a year from now, we could be saying, hey, what's happened to JGR? What, you know, they just kind of fell apart, you know, in 2017. So, again, it's a cyclical sport, but, you know, while they're, I mean, how's the old saying go, get while the getting's good, and they're doing that right now for sure.
That's for sure. Joe Gibbs Racing did give Toyota their first NASCAR championship in the Sprint Cup Series, also gave them their first Daytona 500 win with Denny Hamlin earlier this year. So, you know, they're definitely riding the high wave at this point, not only in coming off of 2015, but right here in 2016. One last question I'm going to ask you before I turn it over to Tim. We saw the whole Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth thing spark up again this weekend at Talladega. We're going to Kansas, and this is where this whole thing seemed to happen last year and kind of culminate at Martinsville last year. Matt Kenseth ultimately was suspended for a couple of events towards the end of last year. Where does this thing go in 2016?
Boy, that's a hard question to answer, Stephen. I mean, you know, you'd like to think that these guys learned enough last year with what they went through that they wouldn't, you know, be stoking the flames again already here after 10 races in 2016. But, you know, we all know that NASCAR is an extremely competitive sport, and, you know, the rivalries can sometimes, you know, overtake the common sense. And I think that, you know, I would like to think that, you know, we're not going to see a repeat of what happened last year. I'd like to think that, you know, these guys are professional enough. They've been talked to by NASCAR enough. And honestly, I'm not going to be surprised if NASCAR calls them both into the trailer before this weekend's race in Kansas and say, hey, you know, it's kind of like a referee in a boxing match. You know, we got to keep it clean, no hitting below the belt, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty clear Matt doesn't like Joey. Joey doesn't like Matt. But, you know, let's not play games. Let's not, run the risk of either them getting hurt or maybe another driver getting hurt. I think that, they kind of have to bury this rivalry because, if they go back to what they did last year, it's only going to make, another black eye for the sport. And I think that the sport will actually wind up losing more than anybody because of, what happened. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that take one side or the other. Some people, sided with Kenseth. The other people sided with Logano. But, with what we saw at Talladega after the race, it's very clear this rivalry is still very hot. I just hope they use common sense and don't let themselves get, too hot under the collar where they lose that common sense and they lose that good judgment and they do something stupid.
And Jerry, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to carry you over to Tim. Appreciate you coming on tonight. And, have fun out there in Kansas.
My pleasure. Thanks ever so much, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Jerry. And, Jerry, if you got time, we got our good friend Will Kimmel. He's running a little bit late. We got him waiting. I want to bring him on. Driver, the number 69, ES Spark Plugs SO Chevrolet from Phillipsburg, Indiana. Fifth place finisher in the general tire. Tune right here at Talladega Super Speedway, my good friend, Mr. Will Kimmel.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Will, how you doing tonight, bud? Congratulations on that fifth place finish here in Duggarland.
I appreciate it. I'm doing better now. I was eating. I had a Hot Pocket in one hand, and I was like, oh, man, Tim wanted me to call in tonight. So that's my bad, calling in a little late. But anyway, I'm on.
No, you're fine. Thanks, Will. And Will, I'm going to hand you over to Jerry and Steven, because I know Jerry Barkowski's time is limited. I'm going to let Jerry Barkowski from NBC Sports talk to you for a little bit. And if you got time, Steven, I'll ask you a few questions. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Will, how you doing?
Oh, doing good tonight.
Good, good. Fifth place finish, that, that was in – that's not an easy thing to do at a place like Dega. I mean, certainly a great run for you guys. What do you get out of this one that you can take, to the next race? And can you take anything that you learned from this race to the next race as well, too?
Well, if we ran super speedways more often, I would say, or more than twice, and I would say yes. But, the biggest thing is it's momentum for our team. They just had a rough year last year, didn't have things go our way, had some luck that just, was not there. So for us to finish fifth, but fifth really doesn't show how good we were. If people didn't get to see the race, I mean, we came from the tail twice and drove up to the front with me in the 77, and we led some laps, and we were just up front all day running strong. So it was just a big race. It was good to get that momentum back on our side, and that's probably the biggest thing we'll take to the next race.
What's it mean to race at a place like Talladega? I mean, I'm gonna tell you kind of a funny story. First time I ever drove into Talladega, I get it, go under the tunnel, get into the infield. I swore I was in a third world country. It was so huge. I couldn't imagine how big that place was, from a fan standpoint, let alone from a driver's standpoint. I mean, do you recall the first time you ever went to Talladega and, what you thought when you, got in the infield and you saw the track for the first time?
It's kind of surreal because when you're working on the car in the pit, like where we pit away from the racetrack. So for me, when you're working on the car, you don't feel like – you just feel like you're kind of in a parking lot because you're just in the, asphalt area there for the ARCA side. So you can hear motors, but they're kind of in the distance because the track's so big, And then,
right.
Man, when you get out there on it, you don't realize it, but when you leave pit road in an ARCA car at Daytona, you can't run wide open through turns one and two at all. You really can't get close to it. But at Talladega, when you exit pit road, you can run as hard as you want through and run wide open, flat on the floor, and you actually end up shifting third to fourth right in the middle of one and two on the apron. So that gives you an idea how much bigger it is. And then especially once you get out on the racetrack, it's like 10 lanes wide, So it's different.
You mentioned that you'd like to do more. I mean, would there be an ideal, opportunity to maybe see ARCA maybe go to maybe four races or maybe even three races instead of just the one at Daytona and the one at Talladega every year?
Well, I definitely think that's more of a more of something you might see in the future, especially since we're going to composite bodies here in the next couple of years. And the reason I say that is because ARCA is not a not all the teams have the financial backing that you're going to see in the Xfinity and the Cup Series. So when we go to these composite bodies, that's going to cheapen the body up a lot, because these speedway bodies that we have now, you know, I tore the right side off my car this Saturday with two to go. You know, the 55 got loose and drove in the right side of it and caved the door in. And with the door being tore up and just cleaning the car up, you know, we're going to have $6,000-$7,000 in a steel body, where that's already half of what a composite body costs new. If that was a composite body, I could go ahead and put a side on it. So the super speedway racing will get cheaper. And when it gets cheaper, I think ARCA might take a step in doing something like that if they feel comfortable. But right now, I don't see it, because these bodies are just they're really expensive to get them right.
Right. One final question from me. When you race at a place like Talladega, when you've got all the NASCAR guys around you, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I mean this in a good way, you know, it's so much of a different atmosphere, if you will, than when you go to some of the smaller short tracks you guys race on, you know, across the country, where the NASCAR guys aren't there, the NASCAR fans to a certain extent are not there as well. How do you enjoy, or how much do you enjoy, you know, having the chance to be around the NASCAR guys at a place like Talladega? Because obviously there's a lot of fans there who can get turned on to ARCA racing, get, you know, become fans of you or other drivers of you, you know, in your you know, in ARCA as well too. So I mean, I've got to think that this is, you know, it's a really good thing to have a situation like that where you can kind of, you know, show and demonstrate what you guys do to a lot bigger audience than, you know, you do it sometimes at some of the smaller short tracks where you don't get that kind of attention, if you will.
Well, the biggest thing is, being a small team like us, what helps us more than anything is Tony Harsman. He spots for Kyle Busch on Sundays, so anytime we run a companion race, he comes over and spots for me. He's actually become a really good friend, and we keep in touch, but that takes the load off us, because we don't have to worry about bringing a spotter to the racetrack. He's always there, and he makes sure all that happens. But, you know, the Cup races are really cool, because I enjoy watching how the Cup guys operate, and, you know, it gives me ideas and stuff, and we can pay attention and see and kind of keep up on some things like that. But for the most part, you know, we're so separated, you don't really notice that they're there, because we're busy doing our thing over on the other side of the garage. But other than that, I mean, you definitely know when Cup's there, because the attendance is a lot different, you know, and the places we go are a lot bigger than the short tracks. And that's probably the biggest thing is the facilities that we go to, you know, the Poconos, Michigan, Kansas, Chicago's.
Right.
They're just awesome, awesome places.
Okay. Well, thanks ever so much for answering my question. I'm going to turn it back over to Tim now.
No problem. Appreciate it.
Well, this is Tim, I was going to step in real quick because we've got some bad storms rolling through here. I want to ask Will a real quick question. You know, when you go to a place like Talladega and you go to a place like Daytona, and we were kind of having this conversation a little bit earlier, you know, in the ARCA race, we really didn't see a whole lot of accidents, and we really didn't see the kind of incidents that we saw in the Xfinity or we saw in the Sprint Cup Series racing. You guys, you know, ran 80 laps out there. I'm sorry, I think it was 74 laps that you ran out there. But, you know, in your race out there, there really didn't seem to be the sense of immediacy or a sense of urgency out there. So you guys were able to kind of sit back and ride around for a little while and see what everybody was doing out there. But you were able to still race, as you said, with the 77, get back up to the front in the draft packs out there. Talk to us a little bit about the strategy in some of these ARCA races, that in the short events that you see, and when you race at a place like Daytona or Talladega.
Well, you got to take note of the first thing about these races is you got to take note of the Ilmor motor. We weren't able to run side by side like this at plate tracks with the old style motors. It just didn't happen. We couldn't run on the outside. The outside lane never worked. And now that we're at this Ilmor motor, we're 2x2 for 12 rows deep. Another thing that you got to take note of is the equipment in ARCA is not like you think anymore. It's really changed here in the past year and a half. And it's gotten a lot better. So I think the cars drive better. And the third thing I'm going to go on to say is the field in ARCA cannot afford to tear up their cars like we see on the other side. We don't have three or four cars ready to go for a super speedway. It's just not there. I didn't even have a backup this weekend. So when me and Chase come through the field like that, I really had to make sure that when I stuck my nose in the middle of three wide, which I did like five or six times coming through the field, and that's how we made our time on the outside, I really had to make sure I had a good run to get all the way up to these guys' door and their contingencies. That way, if they decided to come down, it wouldn't cause a wreck, and we would just, you know, hit doors or whatever. But that's where I think you're going to see the ARCA racing be a little better, because when you're in a position like I am, we have to take care of our stuff, because I don't have the funds to go buy another car, especially after what happened to Daytona in the test, and we dunked two of them, and I don't have another one anyway. So, you know, you kind of got to be careful when it comes to that.
Well, I appreciate you answering my question. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim, because, like I said, I've got a bad storm coming through here. I'm going to listen in on you, and I might ask a couple questions here in just a minute.
Okay, no problem.
All right, thanks, David. And Will, if you can, I want to let Jerry Bunkhouse, because I know Jerry's time is limited. Jerry, let everybody know where they can follow you at on your website at their NBC Sports and your social media stuff. But you got the floor.
Sure. Obviously, NBCSports.com. It's the NASCAR talk section. I also do a couple days a week on Motorsports Talk, which is the, you know, everything that's not NASCAR, like NHRA and IndyCar and things like that. So I've got the best of both worlds when it comes to covering motorsports. And then as far as Twitter, my Twitter handle is real simple. It's at Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y. And the last name is spelled as it sounds, as I always like to say, B as in boy, O, N as in Nancy, K-O-W-S-K-I, again, at Jerry Bonkowski, and you can get me on Twitter. And always like to, you know, talk to fans, you know, either, you know, over Twitter or direct messages or whatever the case may be. So, you know, don't be a stranger. I'm always always willing to listen, and you know, even if we don't agree, at least we're, you know, having some kind of a conversation. That's the important thing.
Jerry, that sounds good. And, Jerry, thanks again for taking your time out of your busy schedule to come on. We appreciate it. And anytime you want to come back on, you just let us know, bud.
Definitely. I always enjoy coming on the show with you guys, and look forward to doing it again here very soon. And thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, take care.
All right, that was Jerry Bonkowski from NBC Sports. All right, well, just like Steven said, he got some storms coming through, and I'm glad you got through your hot pockets. But, Will, you led 14 consecutive laps there. And then you led one lap later. I don't remember what lap it was, but you led a total of 15. And like you mentioned, you and Chase, y'all come from the back to the front, which I'm just letting everybody know I'm not talking about Chase Elliott. It's Chase Briscoe. Y'all come from the back to the front. How was it once you got out in clean air, Will? Was it a lot better in clean air? I mean, you know, I know y'all flied up to the front twice, but was the clean air better?
Well, the biggest thing is when we were in the draft was just so tight. You know, me and Chase were both running 250, 260 on water. So that was a lot of the reason you saw us keep peeking out. And I wasn't really trying to make a run. I was just trying to get some air to the radiator because it was warm and everybody was tucked up really tight. And the air temperature was, you know, 90, 95 degrees, something like that. And it was humid. So it just wasn't good. It wasn't a good day for the water temperature. But once we got out front, you know, I had a chance to watch Junior and stuff at Daytona, and I watched how he worked the top and bottom lane and how he kept them cars behind him. Me and Dad sat there and talked about it, and I was like, you know, maybe it'll work an ARCA car. Well, then Hester got out front, and he did a little bit of it. And then when we got out front, I really wanted to try to make sure and try to learn and see how we could do that. And it worked, and the car was fast, and you know, to hold two lines up behind you like that and keep them a car off you for most of the time was really cool. And now just fortunate to have, you know, SO Contracting and E3 spark plugs help me get it that fast.
And also, Will, the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards went to the General Tire this year. They left Hoosier. You know, Hoosier's been with ARCA for, oh, God, I don't know how long, Will. But the General Tire, you know, you've raced a few races on it this year. How is it holding up, and does it help your performance any better?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to tell you at places like Daytona and Talladega because, you know, we don't take tires. But from everything we've seen, you know, the tires have been great. But, you know, the compound and the structure of the tire they can't afford to really change a lot of that going from track to track, because Hoosier was a mainstay and they had a great tire. And from everything we've seen, I mean, I still had the center line in the tire after 80 laps at Talladega. So, you know, General's got it going on. That's not a new country or new company by any means. You know, and I'm just glad their letters are red and white because it matches my car really well. But no, everything seemed to held up really good. Everything looks really good with that tire, and I don't expect any problems.
Good. And Will, from everybody here, we want to congratulate you on the fifth place finish here at Dega. It was awesome. Steven, do you have any last thoughts for Will Kim?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask him on something that he made a comment about earlier. You said this year, obviously, with, you know, in 2015, only I think about one third to a half of the cars went to the Elmore engine. This year, it's pretty much about everybody's going to the Elmore engine. You made the comment this had that, you know, everybody was able to run side by side. You were able to drive to the front, and it closed into the pack this year, whereas in previous years, it was a lot of a more strung out. You know, from a driver's aspect of this, that you've not seen that before, or, you know, being so close together, especially with the new engine package out there, what were your expectations really coming into this? And for the first time, not really seeing that in the way the performance of the engine was going to affect the racing.
Well, it kind of throws you for a loop because, you know, you always want to be married to the yellow line in any ARCA race. You know, you watch Daytona and Talladega from the year I ran third, which was 2012, 2013. You know, you go back to them years and we're on the bottom. Like, you've got to be on the bottom. Sure, that outside might hold up out there for 3-4 laps, but once guys start losing confidence and they start falling down to the bottom and that outside line falls apart, you know, the inside line would just take off and you just had to run, you know, single file and it was following the leader. What I'm getting at is, you know, when we had the Elmore motor, nobody had raced. Like, you can test it all you want, but you're not going to – 30 cars are not going to go out there in a test and draft and see what we got. That's just not going to happen. So when we got in the race, you know, I was like, man, I'm good. I got in, like, eighth in line on the bottom. And I'll never forget it because I got in line. I'm like, man, we're good. You know, the outside line is going to fall apart. I should fall out. I should shake out here, you know, top 10. I'll be set up good for a pit stop. Well, that was wrong because what happened was the outside line formed up. Then we say 2x2, come to pit stops. I'm like 14th to 15th. And I was like, well, this just changed my whole perspective on what I need to do. So we started working the outside, and that's actually when we ended up, you know, getting out there and taking the lead. And we ended up running hot, and that was the year I think we run – we ended up 10th, but we almost got to lead there on the outside of Grant. So, you know, nobody really knew what was going to happen, and you know, fortunately for ARCA and Elmore, it's made the racing better.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. But congratulations out there this weekend at Talladega.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And again, Will, I'm going to congratulations again. And thanks for taking time out to come on the show, bud. We really do appreciate it. You're welcome anytime. Tell Eric and Mom and Dad we said hello and glad y'all had safe travels back to Indiana. And Will, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud. You got the floor.
No problem. I appreciate you guys having me on. You can get with me on Facebook through Will Kimmel. I have an athlete page. There's also Kimmel Racing. You can like and follow. Instagram and Twitter is at Will Kimmel. Be sure to go out and give me a follow, and there'll be plenty of updates. Right now we're putting up it's not a new car. I'd go with reconditioned, but, you know, it's all powder-coated red frame, red body, black hood. Going to look pretty sharp. Hopefully it runs as good as it looks, but there's some pictures of it going up. Kind of cool. It's been about a month project right now for us because there's not a lot of us in the shop, but we've taken it all the way down. Sandblasting, and I've got pictures of it coming all the way back through the stages of being put together. So that's pretty cool. You can follow along and watch that. And our next race is going to be New Jersey. So appreciate it, guys.
You're very welcome, Will. Thank you very much. We'll talk later, bud.
All right. See you, Tim.
All right, bud. Take care. All right. That was Will Kimmel, driver of the number 69, E3 Spark Plugs SO Chevrolet for Will Kimmel Racing. All right, Steven, you want we've had so much to talk about. Is there anything you want to cover? You got the floor. Let's cover the
Sprint Cup Series, Jacko 500 here at Talladega, and we'll play the media center interview, and we'll let everybody go from Talladega. You got school book.
All right. Yeah, we'll get this out of the way real quickly. Brad Keselowski winning the 47th annual Geico 500 out there. He's 19th victory in 243 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series event. It's also his second victory in his top five in 2016, and his fourth victory in ninth top 10 of 15 events out there at Talladega Super Speedway. Kyle Busch finishing second out there. His sixth top 10 finish in 22 races at Talladega. And his eighth top 10 finish in 2016. Austin Dillon finishing third. Chase Elliott, your highest finishing rookie. And Kevin Harvick leading the points by 9 over Kyle Busch.
All right. Let's see what Brad Keselowski had to say in the Ken Parrish Media Center here at Talladega Super Speedway.
All right. We are now being joined by the race winner of today's Geico 500, Brad Keselowski, the driver of the number 2 Miller Lite Ford. Brad, we read off some statistics earlier when Paul and Bud were up here. Your second victory and fifth top 10 finish just this year. Also here at Talladega, this is your fourth victory and ninth top 10 finish in 15 races. So talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about that finish there.
Yeah, well, what can you say? Talladega has been good to me, and it's great to be back on this podium as a race winner. I'm very, very proud and thrilled for a day today. You never know what you're going to get here. Talladega's always been that way, but it's been very good to me, and I'm, you know, like I said, thankful for that crazy day. Somehow we managed to stay ahead of or out of all the chaos. A couple of people have asked me about it. I didn't see it, thankfully, because I was in front of it. You know, that's how Talladega goes. You know, sometimes we run here, and everybody kind of lines up against the wall, and sometimes we come here, and it's crazy side by side, wreck them up, flip them. And I think that's part of the allure to coming here is that you don't know what you're going to get. And as a racer and a driver, you got to be prepared for either way and take advantage of the situation. And we were able to do that today with really just an all-around solid day. There wasn't anything flashy about today for us. We had good speed. Our execution was really strong on pit road. And of course, we caught just a couple of breaks there with getting the right pushes at the right time when we were side-by-side for the lead. And all that added up to the victory that we got today.
All right, we're going to take some questions for a race winner. We'll start over here with Jenna.
Jenna Fryer, AP. So two-part question. 35 of 40 cars were in an accident today of some kind. One, how did you not get into an accident? And two, do you like that kind of racing?
I like racing. as far as not being in that any of those accidents, we ran up front. And none of the accidents today were at the front. That's your highest percentage shot is if you can run it front. It sounds really easy. It's not. Otherwise, everybody would do it. And we were fortunate to be second, third, or better in every one of those accidents. So, you know, I hated to hear about cars flipping and doing all those things, and nobody wants that. But I think, you know, some accidents here and there, we might not like to cheer about it, but it is part of the sport, and it always has been part of automobile racing.
We're going to go to Dustin and then George and Bob.
Middle. Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Brad, with the topic of cars getting upside down, just this type of racing and what it can lead to, was this a topic that you guys discussed in your driver's council meeting on Friday, or is this a subject that could be presented? How would you guys look at presenting this issue moving forward, especially with Daytona now 2 months away and the one-year anniversary of Austin getting into the fence there?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen a replay of the accidents, in fairness, to be able to, you know, maybe – have at least a preliminary thought on what could have caused it. But, of course, it's not what we want to see. When cars get off the ground, bad things happen even more so, and we kind of get beyond that acceptable risk factor. So it's something that we'll have to all look into and see what we can do better. But it's so early. Like I said, I haven't seen them to know what happened, if they were more of a wedge-style flip where a car picks another car up or an arrow flip, I don't know. But my gut says the wedge-style flips are just part of it, and the arrow ones are ones that we can continue to science out and try to eliminate or reduce the risk of. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Go up here to George.
Over here, Brad. George DeHizer on the other side. I was going to ask about the safety thing, but let's go back to the race. you picked the outside. Just discuss the strategy and what you thought you had going the last few laps for you.
Yeah, I mean, the strategy was pretty simple. The outside lane had won the battle on the last three or four restarts to get to the lead and kind of clear up front, and that's so pivotal here. Unfortunately, it didn't work for us on that next to last or the last restart, and we fell back to second or third. The key part, kind of like I was talking earlier, was we got a push from the one car, which helped me get a run to get up next to the 41 of Kurt Busch. And we were kind of stalemate next to each other, pulling side drafts back and forth, until eventually the 18 car came with a huge run, gave me the push that we were looking for to clear and get up to the lead and kind of take ownership of that position. So all those things kind of came together for us, but we put ourselves in position all day by running up front.
We're going to come.
Okay, Stephen, we're going to Kansas Speedway this weekend. I think you have a rider going out there, correct? And I think you have the times and TV schedule and radio stuff. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Brett's going to be out there all weekend long taking care of business out there, closing down the fort. So he's going to keep everybody covered out there. But we're going to see what he does. Somebody's got to keep him in line. Hopefully we'll send a few emails to somebody out there. he'll be all right. No, but this weekend out there, Kansas Speedway, MRN. MRN is going to have your radio out there for the events out there. But coming up on, let's see here. Oh, well, Friday. Wow, Friday night. We got a bunch of stuff coming up on Friday. I know. First Friday night that we've had in a while. So Friday afternoon, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series qualifying on FS1. This is going to be at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time out there, followed by NASCAR Camping World Truck NASCAR Sprint Cup Series qualified following that at 6:45, and then on Fox Sports 1 at 8:30. NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race out there, 167 laps, 250 miles out there is going out there on Friday night. Then on Saturday, we've got another Saturday night race. Haven't seen one of them in a while either. I was hoping for one in Richmond, but they changed it on to the day for me. So 7:30 out there, 267 laps, 400.5 miles in the Go Bowling 400 at Kansas Speedway this week in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Going to take action on track this weekend. So I think everybody's got themselves covered. Brett's going to be out there. I'll have it on the Twitters, MRN, Fox Sports 1. Everybody's got it all covered.
Sounds good, Stephen. And I want to give a big shout-out to our guest from NBC Sports, Mr. Jerry Bonkowski. Thank him for taking time out to come on. And Mr. Will Kimmel, driver of Will Kimmel Racing of the ES Sports Plugs SO Chevrolet with a fifth-place finish here at Talladega. I want to thank him for taking time out of his busy schedule to come on. And, Stephen, you got the floor. Let everybody know if they can follow you there on social media and your website. But.
And follow us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest and SpeedwayDigest.com for all the action this weekend and Speedway Digest Radio Network. So I think they got everything covered, I think.
I think you did awesome, bud. And we want to say next week, I don't have the guest lined up right yet. I'm working on it, but next week, same time, same station. I'm live from Talladega, Alabama. You've been a pit stop with Tim and Stephen, Stephen Wilson. Stephen, tell AM and the boys we said hello. See you next week, bud.
All right.
All right, good night from Duggan Nation here in Talladega, Alabama.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling north on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. Like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. We met at a truck stop, Johnson City, Tennessee. I was gassing up my fiber,
headed, boy. Do you need some company? She had me stopping at a Quick Mart before we made it out of town. Next thing she was running at me, telling me to lay that hammer down. Oh, there's a man right behind me, doing his best to slow me down. Yeah, and it's a long way to Richmond, rolling up on 95.
Till they read us both our rights.